Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Chad Burleson, and this is The Chad Report. It is Wednesday, January 14th, 2015, the first episode of our seventh season. And here to join me, as always, my partner and co-host, Jeff Rivers.
Hey, how you doing, Chad?
Doing well. Seven seasons.
Yeah, that's awesome. It goes by fast.
It really has. Wow. I just, that's incredible, you know. And,
absolutely.
We do two, for people are listening to our show for the first time, we do two seasons in a calendar year. So kind of like Survivor or, you know, well, sometimes Survivor will even try to squeeze in three, I think, Jeff. But
right. Seems like it.
So, yeah, but we've been on since 2011, and it's 2015 now, so incredible. Yeah, and very grateful and thankful that we can do this.
Absolutely.
And looking forward to a great season. Also want to announce that, of course, Jeff, we always have the sometimes we have major holidays and then sometimes not so major. This is National Dress Up Your Pet Day and also National Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day. And I don't like pastrami, so I won't be participating in that one, and nor do I like dressing up my pets, so I won't be participating in that one either. Jeff, if you want to do that.
I agree. I have better things to do with my time.
That reminds me, especially when you have cats, dogs, dogs will tolerate it for a little while. Cats, they don't want any part of that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's just, you remember the there was that it went to the 99 cent store faster than anything I've ever seen. I think it was make your cat a unicorn, and it says cats love it. Even the cat on the front of the box was pissed off. You remember that? I mean, it
yeah.
had that little plastic.
Exactly.
No, cats do not love it, and neither. I mean,
you see their ears laid back and their tails.
Oh yeah, that cat was thrilled on that box. I just never forget looking at that box and thinking, yeah, this is a great way to sell the product.
Right.
You need a new model. You know.
Exactly.
I do want to mention this is the first episode that we are rated PG-13 for the first time. Jeff, no more family rating, so anything goes as far as language. So, you know,
okay.
So now, not that we're going to drop, you know, I'm not... It just gives us a little more freedom, especially when I'm quoting people and things like that, when we interview people, if somebody wants to say, you know... fuck or shit, they can. So anyway.
Yeah, I got to get used to that.
First time I've ever seen that on the show. Wow. Yeah. So, but it just seemed so childish, though. And that was actually recommended by the distributor, our distributor. So I took their advice, and we're going to see, you know, how that goes. So anyway, hopefully for the best. And like I said, though, it's not going to be something we're going to do a lot, you know.
Right.
But like... quoting things, you know, Jeff, in the past when I like quote stupid things that people would say, and instead of having to say F in this, and you know,
it gets old.
Yeah, I agree. So, we're adults here, and most of our listeners are as well. So, all right. So glad it's 2015. So glad 2014
yes.
is over, yep. and a couple of weeks into it, and just, you know, starting to, although this year has started off pretty tough as far as, celebrities go. We've lost several, and hopefully that's not something that's going to be recurring over the course of the year at this rate. You know what I mean?
Right. I hope not.
All right, Jeff. Charlie Hebdo's first edition since an attack by Islamist gunmen sold out within minutes today, featuring a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad on a cover that defenders praised as art, but critics saw as new provocation. French readers queued at dawn for copies to support the satirical newspaper, even as Al-Qaeda's branch in Yemen claimed responsibility for the attack last week, saying it ordered the killings because it deemed the weekly had insulted the prophet. Across the Middle East, Muslim leaders who have denounced the attack in which 12 people died called for calm while criticizing Charlie Hebdo's, decision to publish a fresh caricature of Mohammed. President Francois Hollande visited Francis Charles de Gaulle aircraft carrier in the Mediterranean and said it was ready to support military operations against Islamic State in Iraq, quote, in close cooperation with coalition forces. The U.S. State Department said Secretary of State John Kerry would meet with Hollande in Paris on Friday to offer assistance to France. I'm thrilled that the survivors at this at the Charlie Hebdo's office they put together. This is the first edition they put out since the 12 people died, and I'm thrilled that it sold out, Jeff.
Absolutely.
It's a stand, and it shows that, you know, we're not going to be scared to do what we're doing. And it's satire, again. You know, we've seen in the past that satire does not globally everybody doesn't get it. You know what I mean, Jeff?
Exactly.
If you remember, a great case of that was there's The Onion, which is an online paper here in the United States. They called the leader of North Korea. I can't think of his name, Jeff. The one we just watched.
Kim Jong-il.
Who makes me ill. But yeah, that's yes. Because the dad was Kim Jong-un. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's Kim Jong-il. Okay, yes. Do you remember when The Onion said he was called him the sexiest man alive? And everyone in North Korea took it seriously, and they thought, oh, wow, you know, and they really rolled that out as, you know, not getting that it was satire. And so...
Right. Well, they have to spin it the way they want to see it, I guess.
I guess so. And, you know, I just... good for this paper for moving on.
Yes, I'm glad that, you know, it's being supported, you know, because terrorist groups and things like that have to realize that we're not going to cave to our freedoms of speech and otherwise, you know.
Right, correct. Absolutely. And another thing I read, Jeff, is Al-Qaeda is quick to claim this because they feel like that they are being overshadowed by ISIS. So, you know, how dare ISIS come in and get more attention than Al-Qaeda. So this is kind of like their comeback. So we'll see how long their comeback lasts before they get, you know, I think they're going to see a comeback as well.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely.
You know how that goes, Jeff. Evil wins some battles, but in the end, good always wins the war, you know?
Exactly.
And that will be the case in this situation as well.
Exactly.
Eight inmates and two corrections officers died today when a prison bus skidded off an icy West Texas highway, slid down an embankment, and collided with a passing freight train, authorities said.
Wow.
The overpass on Interstate 20 was slick with ice this morning when the Texas Department of Criminal Justice bus left the roadway in Pinwell, just west of Odessa, according to Ector County Sheriff Mark Donaldson. An earlier accident on the I-20 overpass may have contributed to the prison bus losing control. The Texas Department of Criminal Justice confirmed the 10 deaths in a statement, adding that four prisoners and one corrections officer were injured. The bus driver and another corrections officer were among those killed. Quote, it's as bad as you can imagine, Odessa Fire and Rescue Battalion Chief Kevin Tinney told the Odessa American newspaper. In 32 years, it's as bad as anything I've seen. So,
that's terrible.
It is terrible, and of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to their family and loved ones. It doesn't go on to say what some of the people were in prison for, but you know, still, you don't want to see anyone lose their life.
Absolutely,
these are not death row inmates. You know, I'm not saying that. So it's, you know what I mean,
right?
And so, you know, thoughts and prayers to the corrections officers, the bus driver, of course, and to the inmates' relatives as well.
Definitely, definitely.
Family and friends of a gay woman in Colorado have expressed anger at a church's refusal to show a video at her funeral that contained images of the woman kissing her partner. The service Saturday for Vanessa Collier in a Denver suburb was abruptly moved to a funeral home across the street after mourners had already arrived at the church, according to a family, according to family and friends of the deceased woman. Quote, people started taking their seats at 10 a.m. at New Hope Ministries Church. Jose Silva, a friend of Collier's and spokesman for the family, told CNN affiliate KMGH. At 10:15, the pastor said, due to technical difficulties, the funeral is being moved. Wow, that's not boy. Technical difficulties
not at all.
And wow.
How about bigotry?
Exactly. The reason for the sudden change was a tribute video about Collier, who died December 29th at the age of 33. Pastor Ray Chavez of the Church New Hope Ministries asked the family if they would be willing to edit out the images of Collier kissing her partner, said Gary Rolando, the chaplain who conducted the service. The family graciously declined and asked to move the service to the funeral home across the street, Rolando told KMGH. But at the funeral home, the room was too small to accommodate everyone, so people were standing and sitting on the floor, as well as flooded out into the lobby, and had to watch the service on a TV screen, Christina Higley, Collier's partner, said in a statement. New Hope Ministries did not respond to requests for comment about what happened. And surprisingly,
that's just ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And what's even more ridiculous, Jeff, is they originally said they lost the video and they asked for another copy. And when they got that copy, it was reviewed and they realized that there was content involved kissing. So I don't know that I buy that, to be honest with you. And because I'm thinking, they thought, okay, we get rid of this, and there's another video. You know what I'm saying? I can't. That's just, you know, allegedly, or I'm speculating, but I it smells to me. You know what
exactly.
I mean, Jeff?
Exactly.
Rolando said the church had passed the $400 fee that the family paid for the service to the funeral home, but the family wants their money back, Silva said. The family spokesman told CNN the church knew in advance that Collier was a lesbian, and that fact alone wasn't why the funeral ended up being moved. If the family had known about the need to change the video ahead of time, they could have rectified the situation, he said. Silva added, this is unacceptable. Everybody should have dignity in death.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's just terrible. The church should be ashamed of itself.
I agree. New Hope Ministries. Wow.
The hope is, do they end their bigotry soon?
Exactly. Well said. All right, we've got more to get to, but first, on this day in 1979, U.S. President Jimmy Carter proposed that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday should be a national holiday. He got his wish. At the movies, Superman, an action-adventure superhero film based on the DC Comics character starring Christopher Reeve, Gene Hackman, and Margot Kidder, was in its fifth week at the top of the box office, and the number one song in the land was this.
Yeah.
from the platinum-selling album Spirits Having Blown, the legendary pop-rock group, the Bee Gees, and their seventh number one hit, Too Much Heaven. Actually, and that was their 24th top 40 hit, Jeff, and all the proceeds from that single went to benefit UNICEF as well.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's an awesome song.
Awesome indeed. And this came on the heels of the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, actually, the Spirits Having Flown album. And they had three number one hits from the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack. This was, and then they had three number ones from the Spirits Having Flown album that came right after that, that had Too Much Heaven, Tragedy, and Love You Inside Out.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
so this followed How Deep Is Your Love, Staying Alive, and Night Fever. So the Bee Gees could do no wrong in the late 70s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and... again, I've said this before, but we hear a lot of falsetto voices, but Barry Gibb is the master at singing in falsetto.
Definitely.
You know,
totally agree.
Not just to sing a few lines of a song, but to do an entire song in falsetto. You know,
right. It's not easy.
No, it's not, and to sound that good as well, and to be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Incredible. Incredible writer, incredible singer as well. And the only one left of the Bee Gees.
And the oldest.
The
too.
Oldest, yes. That's not typical, but in this case, yes, because, of course, Robin and Morris, the other two members, and then, of course, they had the younger brother, Andy, who was not part of the Bee Gees, but he was a successful solo artist. He died many years ago. And Barry's still working and still actually planning on touring again, so... wish him the best, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Two children left alone in the Louisiana home were killed in a house fire while their mother was out getting her hair styled at a salon, authorities said. Fire officials say they are still piecing together what happened at the home in Bastrop on Monday evening. But, quote, one thing is certain, said Brent Thompson, State Fire Marshal Deputy Chief. Ciara Johnson left her children unattended for hours as she was having her hair styled. The victims are 4-year-old Tashay Thompson Johnson and her 3-year-old brother, Clifton Thompson Johnson. Johnson told authorities that she had arranged for a neighbor to look after her children, but she hadn't, the deputy chief said. Quote, investigators later determined that Johnson, in fact, had made no such arrangements and that she had returned home only after being contacted about the fire, he said.
Wow.
There were two gas space heaters running when Johnson left, the fire marshal's office said. Some flammable material left by a heater in the living room caused the fire, engulfing the single-family wood-framed house in flames. And
that's terrible.
It's really just heart-wrenching, you know. Neighbor Johnny Hall told CNN affiliate KTVE, I don't know what else to say. Johnson has been charged with two counts of negligent homicide.
Yeah, and they deserve it. You don't leave a 3 and a 4-year-old
alone with two gas heaters.
Yes,
while you go and get your hair done.
Fire.
While you go and get your hair done, and I don't care if a neighbor knows about it or not. The neighbors should be in there, or they should be at the neighbors. You know, you don't leave a 3 and a 4-year-old unattended. Period.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, I just...
Wow.
I don't understand, Jeff. It's kind of like leaving the kids in a car and forgetting about them. I don't get... I mean,
right.
You know, is it just selfishness or is it just incompetence? You know, you have to question what is
maybe
the thought process here.
Yeah. It's terrible.
It is terrible, and I feel so sorry for the kids. You know, you can only imagine what they went through, and it's very sad for everyone involved.
Definitely.
Facebook, a website where many people share pictures of their children, could soon help bring missing kids back home. The social media company announced Tuesday that it will begin posting Amber Alerts to its users' news feeds. Facebook's move, the latest technological advancement for the alert that began here in the DFW Metroplex, actually, won plaudits from law enforcement. The alert is named for Amber Hagerman, a 9-year-old Arlington girl who was abducted from a grocery store parking lot in 1996 and found dead 4 days later in a drainage ditch. Tuesday was National Amber Alert Awareness Day, the anniversary of the day she was snatched. Her slaying remains unsolved. Tarrant County Sheriff D. Anderson, who was the Arlington Police Department spokesman when Amber disappeared, said he never dreamed of the alert's quick and wide distribution back in its infancy. He called the Facebook alerts, quote, just another step forward in the great world of technology. As much as people are into social media today, and as much time as people spend on their computers with Facebook in front of them, it's a great step, and I'm glad Facebook officials are willing to step in and help a worthwhile cause that we've believed in for a long time. When there is an Amber alert in the Facebook users area, a short post about it will appear as the second newsfeed item, and users can share the post, or it will stay in the feed until the child is found. And, you know, Jeff, there's a lot of things that Facebook does that I don't like and don't approve of, as well as many other people. This is great, though, and I think this is a great step, you know?
Right. So many people pay attention to it. It's just another avenue to get the word out and hopefully save some lives.
And not scare us to death on the phone. Well, you know.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It's a great thing on the phone, too. I don't mean to make light of it, but, well, you know, you get these new phones sometimes, and, you know, and I've heard other people talk about, oh, it scared me to death. Well, until it actually happens to you and you get that, you know, you hear this strange noise, you know, and you're like, what is that and where is it coming from, you know?
Right.
But
it's not your normal ringtone.
No, it's not. And a lot of people say, well, you can, you know, take it off. I haven't. I've kept it on there. You know, just for awareness. And I want to know if there is a missing child in my area. That way I know to be on the lookout. I think the Amber Alert is a great, great thing.
Definitely. Definitely.
In Lansing, Michigan, a 25-year-old woman facing a murder charge in the death of her infant daughter gave birth to a boy in December who now is missing. Melissa Mitten of the Lansing suburb of Okemos, Michigan, told an Ingham County family court judge Tuesday that, quote, she could not recall where her son is. Deborah Russo, Ingham County assistant prosecutor, said at a hearing Wednesday in circuit court. Which is startling to say the least, Russo said. We believe she is a danger to the community, and of course the most vulnerable members of the community are infants who can't speak for themselves. Circuit Judge Jim Gemma ordered Mitten, who had been free on $5,000 bond while she awaited trial in the December 2013 case, to be held without bond at the Ingham County Jail in Mason, Michigan. Also today, Gemma granted a request from Mitten's lawyer, Frank Reynolds, to send her for tests to the State Center for Forensic Psychiatry. Those tests to determine if she is competent to stand trial and if she can be held criminally responsible typically are completed within 60 to 90 days. Quote, I have some serious concerns about her psychological well-being, Reynolds said, based on the meeting Tuesday with Mitten and her claims in family court. After the hearing, Reynolds declined to elaborate further. Mitten was charged last year in the December 2013 death of her baby girl after she concealed the pregnancy, gave birth in a bathroom, and put the infant face down in a wastebasket, according to testimony. The umbilical cord and placenta were still attached. At the time, Mitten, her parents, and her sister were staying at a friend's Okemos home because their own house was without power after an ice storm. No one knew Mitten was pregnant. A forensic pathologist said the infant died of positional asphyxiation. Mitten told police that after giving birth, the baby cried but then stopped breathing. The father of that child was a student at Michigan State University who now is living in another country. And the father of the boy born last month is not known, Reynolds said.
Wow.
I have a real problem with this, Jeff. First off, how in the world, if she's being held on bond because she apparently killed her daughter, you know, in December of 2013, she was allowed to get pregnant again and was not monitored during this period?
Exactly.
And the reason I say that, because in mid-December, it was determined she was 35 weeks pregnant then.
Right, exactly.
And an examination on Tuesday showed that she had given birth about 3 weeks ago. So when they determined that she was 35 weeks pregnant back in mid-December, that's when somebody should have had an eye on her at all times.
Exactly.
Someone really dropped the ball there. And I would say Ingham County Child Protective Services dropped the ball, you know?
Exactly. That's
there's no excuse. There's just no excuse for that whatsoever. And you know, first off, for that to happen once, but then to allow it to happen again, you know?
Exactly.
I, that's just crazy to me. It's very sad, you know what I mean? And it's just unconscionable.
Definitely.
And finally, a model who claims Bill Cosby drugged and sexually abused her at the Playboy Mansion met with L.A. police today to pursue criminal charges against the comedian over the 2008 incident. An attorney for Chloe Goins said after the meeting that his client is the first woman accusing Cosby of sexual misconduct whose case may fall within the statute of limitations. More than 15 women have accused Cosby of sexual misconduct, including several who say the comedian drugged and raped them in incidents dating back at least 4 decades. And that 15 is a very conservative figure. It does say more than, but it's much more than, actually.
Right.
Goins did not speak during a press conference today. Her attorney, Spencer Kubin, said she came forward after hearing about other women describing abuse by Cosby and realizing she might have a valid criminal case. An email to Cosby's attorney, Marty Singer, was not immediately returned. Kubin declined to discuss what Goins told detectives, but restated her allegations that Cosby drugged her at a 2008 event at the Playboy Mansion. Goins does not know what happened while she was blacked out, but Kubin says she awoke to find herself naked and Cosby over her. Quote, Ms. Goins and I are here for two reasons, for justice and accountability, Kubin said. And Jeff Goins is at least the second woman to meet with L.A. police detectives to recount accusations against Cosby. This whole story is so sad to me. It's sad and tragic both because where there's this much smoke, I think there's fire.
Oh, Jeff. I think so too. You know, the fact that there's actually one that's potentially within the statute of limitations. Look out, Cosby.
Fact that this man, though, is still being booked, he played it in Toronto in the last week. I'm just stunned that they're still booking him at places to perform.
Exactly.
And it's because, you know, people are like, well, he hasn't been convicted of anything. Well, because of the statute of limitations is why, and because a lot of these people hadn't come forward. And you know what's sad, Jeff, is Bill Cosby has had a big comeback planned this year. NBC had already green-lighted a new sitcom for him. He's how many times have we heard him referred to as America's favorite dad from his years on The Cosby Show?
Exactly.
I mean, if you remember, it was The Cosby Show that bumped Dallas and Dynasty from, you know, they were from being number one all through the early 80s.
Right.
And then when The Cosby Show came along, it was something fresh, something new, it was fun. Everyone loved Bill Cosby. You know,
exactly.
And it's just very sad to me.
It's very sad on several, you know, I mean, hearing about it now, you know, and hearing about all these allegations, you know, it's sad that it took this long for all these women to be harmed before actually, you know, now it sounds like, well, maybe actually they can actually do something, you know, about this one.
Right, right.
So it's just sad.
Kathy Lee Gifford even said on her show on the fourth hour today that she has with Hoda Kotb, of course, she was opening for Bill Cosby at an event in the 70s and that he kissed her and kind of, you know, asked her if she wanted to go to his room. You know, and she's like, Bill, we're friends, you know. And she said that after that he didn't do anything else. He was, you know, he was like, okay, you know, fine. And but also offered cappuccino to her and to some other people, and that has come up many times, Jeff, this cappuccino thing. A lot of these women claim that they were given cappuccino and it was drugged. The next thing they woke up to find him on top of them or, you know, in a sexual position. You know, and it's just very sad to me because Bill Cosby, again, not just the Cosby Show, but, you know, I'm... we've both been around a little while, Jeff. We remember Fat Albert, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you know, and so all that, you know, to not be able to look back on that fondly, that's why I say it's sad. Because Bill Cosby is responsible. And then when you think about syndication, The Cosby Show, on TV land, you think about Felicia Rashad and all these people that get money and, you know, from the show being in syndication. Well, these networks are dropping this left and right. They're not going to show it, you know. So
right. It's
not just costing him and his wife Camille, who has stood by him completely during this whole thing.
All his co-stars throughout the course of time.
It's costing people a ton of money. Right, right.
Yeah.
And and even Keisha Knight Pulliam, who played his Rudy on the show, you know, his youngest daughter, it's cost her as well. So just the whole thing is sad and tragic. And but I have to say, Jeff, I think there's some merit to it. I would be a fool
sure
not to.
Like it.
You know,
you have that many people, you know, screaming that shows fire and where there's fire, you know what I'm saying, or smoke.
Well, there's fire. Exactly, and that's just unfortunate. All right, that's going to do it for the news. The Wide World of Sports is straight ahead. You're listening to The Chad Report.
Thank you.
from New York City, The System, and their only top 10 hit, Don't Disturb This Groove. Although it was number one R&B hit for 1 week as well, Jeff. So
yeah, a good song.
Hang a sign up on the door that says, Don't Disturb This Groove. I know that's right. You know what I'm saying?
Especially when you're grooving, you do not disturb.
That yeah. Damn right. Damn right. Oh, my gosh. Yes, no magazine salesman. If I've got the music cranked and I'm dancing and, you know, cleaning, I say in quotations, well,
yes, and he
don't
needs
disturb
it.
This groove, okay? Thank you, Jeff, for that extra input there. But The System, okay? All right. That's a great name for a group, too. I get more than somebody hadn't come up with that before that. Okay, Jeff, good news if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, or if you're a fan of the coach, I should say, anyway. Dallas Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett agreed to a 5-year deal that will average slightly more than $6 million a season, according to sources. So $30 million that will keep him with the Cowboys until 2020.
Yeah, I think that's great, but, I tell you what, I'm surprised they did 5 more years, though. Wow. That's longer than what I thought would have thought.
I think he really should, because this year a lot
he showed his stuff this year. You know, he deserves it.
Because the so-called experts, as I call them, had predicted Dallas going to like 5-11. And not only did they go 12-4, they won the NFC East, which was just not expected at all. Won their first playoff game against Detroit,
right.
And then went to Green Bay, where they lost. So a great season if you're a Cowboys fan, and because we've had those, 3 years in a row. We had that last game of the season where if we had won, we'd gotten into the playoffs. And if we lost, we didn't. And we lost every time.
Right.
So it was just a thrill to get there. And a lot of times you take this kind of step before you get to the big step. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
And I haven't been this excited about a football season from the Cowboys in a very long time. And I'm sure there's a lot of fans that agree with me on that. And good job and hats off to the team and Jason Garrett for the excellent coaching. You know, he deserves to get renewed.
I agree. I totally agree. And I'm like you. There's a lot of free agents to be signed, but I think that knowing Jerry Jones, I think that he'll get that done.
Well, I heard something that DeMarco Murray, they have offered him like a $16 million deal over 3 years. Is that right?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah.
So I don't.
So that sounds low to me, you know, for
DeMarco's going nowhere. I'll tell you that right now.
I sure hope not. $16 million over 3 years seems a little cheap, you know, for that good of running back.
Well, that remains to be seen. But I guarantee you Jerry will pony up whatever he needs to keep DeMarco. And
yeah,
Dez is certainly not going anywhere as well. The NFL's divisional playoff weekend drew its biggest television audience ever. The 4 games last weekend averaged 37.8 million viewers. The previous high was 36.6 million in 2011. The Green Bay Packers' 26-21 victory over the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday was the second most watched divisional game on record, the league said. It averaged 44.4 million viewers on Fox. The New York Giants' upset of the Packers in 2012 drew 45.1 million viewers. So very interesting there.
Huh.
And congratulations to the 4 teams that are still alive. Of course, the AFC and NFC championship games will be this Sunday. On the NFC side will be the Green Bay Packers at 13-4. We'll travel to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, who are also 13-4. That's at 2:05 p.m. Central Time on Sunday on Fox. And then on CBS at 5:40 p.m. Central Time on Sunday, it's the Indianapolis Colts traveling to New England to take on the Patriots. Indianapolis is 13-5. New England is 13-4.
Those are both going to be awesome games.
My prediction is Seattle and New England in the Super Bowl, Jeff. What about you?
I hope Seattle's one of them. Oh, boy.
Well, I didn't ask what you hoped. I asked what your prediction
is. That's what I hope.
I'm asking what your prediction is.
Yeah, I think I agree with New England. But, boy, I tell you what, it's hard to come against Green Bay.
Green Bay at Seattle. Keep in mind, Seattle fans have
yeah, I know
measured
the
on the Richter scale before.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, that's a tough place to play.
Exactly. You know, I'm going to
Green Bay
to,
is a great team too.
So. You know, my heart is with Seattle to win this whole thing, but I'm going to say Green Bay takes them.
So you think Green Bay, New England, in the
yes,
Super Bowl?
Okay. Unfortunately.
And also the Seahawks and the Patriots.
I hope you're right.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting.
I especially want Green Bay to go down because they were given that position, you know, to be there by the
bad call.
Well,
I wasn't even going to go there, Jeff, and I'm not. I'm not going to let you lure me into that. So,
yeah, what do you have to say about that?
Nothing. Not a word. Maybe Milwaukee's a great market for us, so I have nothing to say about that. So,
right,
okay.
Right.
As expected, ESPN's presentation of the college football playoff national championship morphed into the highest-rated and most-watched offering in cable television history when the numbers were released yesterday. Ohio State's 42-20 victory over Oregon at AT&T Stadium on Monday night scored an 18.2 rating across the country while averaging 33.395 million viewers. The old records didn't last long. They were established in the playoff semifinals on New Year's Day when Oregon swept by Florida State in the Rose Bowl, followed by Ohio State beating Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. So that's just incredible. Incredible numbers for the and again, congratulations to the Buckeyes of Ohio State. That was a tough game. And they are loaded to – I could very easily see them being in the national championship again next year. Jeff,
oh, yeah.
They're just that good. And incredible. Yeah, I guess a great Oregon team, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
In Phoenix, LeBron James scored 33 points in his return from a two-week layoff, but it wasn't enough to prevent the Cleveland Cavaliers from going down to their sixth straight loss, 107-100 to the Phoenix Suns on Tuesday night. Markieff Morris scored a career-high 35 points on 15 of 20 shooting for the Suns, who outscored the Cavs 11-3 over the last 3:31. The Cavaliers rallied from a 19-point third-quarter deficit to go ahead in the fourth, the first of eight lead changes down the stretch. And Jarrell Smith, who joined the Cavaliers during James' absence, scored 29, going 8 of 14 on three-pointers. James, who took time off to rest his sore left foot and lower back, made 11 of 18 shots, 6 of 8 in the second half. So a valiant effort, but it just wasn't enough, unfortunately. And just running down the standings in the NBA, in the Western Conference, and these are all going into the day, in the Southwest Division, it's the Houston Rockets at 27-11. They have a half-game lead over both the Memphis Grizzlies and the Dallas Mavericks. In the Northwest Division, it's the Portland Trail Blazers at 30-8. They have an 11.5-game lead over Oklahoma City. Wow, they are out. That's incredible.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a lot.
And in the Pacific Division, it's the Golden State Warriors at 30-5. That's a fantastic record. They have a 6.5-game lead over the L.A. Clippers. In the Eastern Conference, Atlantic Division, it's Toronto. The Toronto Raptors are 25-12. They have a 9.5-game lead over the Brooklyn Nets. And again, a huge lead there starting out, you know, in January. In the Southeast Division, the Atlanta Hawks at 30-8 have a 4-game lead over Washington. And in the Central Division, it's the Chicago Bulls at 26-13. They have a 6-game lead over the Milwaukee Bucks. And that's going to do it for sports. The entertainment update is next, right here on the Chad Report.
1, 2, 3, 4. Come on, baby, say you love me. 5, 6, 7.
Dawn and the Miami Sound Machine and their top 10 hit, 1, 2, 3. Number one on the adult contemporary charts also for 1 week. And actually, that was the last song where, because, you know, they started out Miami Sound Machine, then it became Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine before just becoming Gloria Estefan. And that was the last hit they had under Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine.
Love it, love it. Oh,
I do too. Isn't that a great one?
Definitely.
Yeah, that once, yeah, no matter what it takes. I'm just going to keep on counting until you are mine, all right? That's, all right, Jeff, it's that time of the year. You know, tomorrow is the, of course, the Oscar nominees come down tomorrow morning. And but before that, today, getting a jump on them, of course, it's time for the Golden Raspberry Awards. This is the 35th annual Golden Raspberry Awards, also known as the Razzies. The ceremony, which, quote, honors the worst Hollywood has to offer, takes place February 21st at the Montalban Theater in Los Angeles. And and people have actually started showing up for the Razzies. You know, they started in 1980, and let's just run them down. For nominees for worst picture of the year, Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas, Left Behind, The Legend of Hercules, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Transformers: Age of Extinction. Nominees for worst actor, Nicolas Cage for Left Behind. Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. My, how the mighty have fallen since Growing Pains.
Exactly.
Kellan Lutz for The Legend of Hercules. Seth MacFarlane for A Million Ways to Die in the West. And Adam Sandler for Blended. Ouch. Nominees for Worst Actress, Drew Barrymore for Blended. Cameron Diaz for The Other Woman and Sex Tape. Melissa McCarthy for Tammy, and Charlize Theron for A Million Ways to Die in the West, and Guy Weiss, if I'm saying that correctly, for The Legend of Hercules. So,
wow. Some I wouldn't have thought of, being nominated for that.
No, and for Worst Supporting Actress, Cameron Diaz and Annie, Megan Fox for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Nicole Peltz for Transformers: Age of Extinction, Bridget Ridenour for Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas, and Susan Sarandon for Tammy. Worst Supporting Actor, Mel Gibson for The Expendables 3. Speaking of how the mighty have fallen, right?
Yes, exactly. I root for Kirk Cameron and Mel Gibson to get it.
Well, this is worst supporting actor, so Mel Gibson didn't make it, so, you know.
Right.
Also, worst supporting actor, Kelsey Grammer for The Expendables 3, Legends of Oz, Think Like a Man 2, and Transformers: Age of Extinction. 4 movies. Shaquille O'Neal for Blended, Arnold Schwarzenegger for The Expendables 3, and Kiefer Sutherland for Pompeii. So,
wow.
Worst remake, ripoff, or sequel, Annie, Atlas Shrugged 3, Who is John Gabe, The Legend of Hercules, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or Transformers: Age of Extinction. So there's your nominees for...
Well, there's just some funny ones there.
Well, and, you know, you just never know, right?
Right. Some of them I can definitely see why they're nominated.
Well, Kirk Cameron, you know, Kirk Cameron's... You know what? Who in the hell do you think was buying the Tiger Beat magazines back in the day, Kirk? You don't attack gay people in Hollywood.
Exactly.
You don't go after gays and you don't go after Jews in Hollywood. Okay? That's who runs Hollywood. Idiot. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So, anyway, moving on.
Exactly.
Running on the top 10 shows, according to Nielsen, the top 10 primetime shows of the last week. At number 10, Madam Secretary. At number 9, Mom. Number 8, Scorpion. At 7, Blue Bloods. Number 6, 60 Minutes. At 5, NCIS New Orleans. At 4, Big Bang Theory. All those are CBS. At number 3, the Golden Globe Awards on NBC. At 2, NCIS, CBS. And number 1, the Fox NFC playoff game
the Carolina Panthers at the Seattle Seahawks on Saturday night. That was the most watched show of the week. And, Jeff, looking at the top 25, if it weren't for that Golden Globe Awards, NBC would have no entry whatsoever. So,
wow. Nothing.
And ABC only has two. At number 20, they got Modern Family, and at 25, Last Man Standing.
Wow, Modern Family's all the way down to 20?
Yes,
wow.
Yes. And, you know, Fox had the football and American Idol, but again, American Idol is not in the top 10 of overall viewers. It's in the teens, and this was the debut of that. So that and their new show Empire made the top 25. Other than that, it's CBS, baby. CBS, CBS, CBS. I mean, just, you know, nothing's changed. So
right.
Second verse, same as the first, as the song goes.
Exactly.
Okay, Jeff, Miley Cyrus has done some racy things in recent years, but new photos for V Magazine might be pushing the Break the Internet bar to a new low, if that's even possible. She's naked.
surprise.
She's standing up in a bathtub. She has bubbles covering her private parts and bubbles barely covering her breasts. She also, in a kid-like move, has bubbles making a beard on her face. And, of course, to see more of those, you can go to V Magazine and check those out. I don't understand. I thought she made a classy move at the last at the American Music Awards when she sent the guy up after last year's performance. Of
right.
course, when she sent, she didn't. I thought, okay, this is smart. You shed the she shed the Hannah Montana image. I think it's safe to say. And but then a week later, we see her on stage with a blow up doll, a male blow up doll that she's giving it to.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's just disgusting. And
she likes the shock factor.
Let
you
your
know.
Craft be. Look at Nick Jonas. I think that's a perfect example. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Let your craft speak for you. That this shock
exactly.
factor, you don't need to do any more of that, Miley, because she's a good singer, you know?
Right.
And she hyped the photo shoot on Instagram by saying, quote, "We's a bunch of happy hippies over her. So, anyway.
Yeah, she don't need a gimmick. You know, just use your talent.
I agree. And whoever's advising her should be fired. That's just, it's sad, you know?
Yeah, somehow I think she's doing this on her own. And
well,
people around her are just, you know, allowing it because she pays their paycheck.
Well, it's very sad. I want to congratulate Snoop Dogg, who now has a new addition to his dog father family. Say hello to little Zion, son of Snoop's eldest son, Cord, who's 21. Not to be confused with Cordell Brodus, that's Snoop's other son, who is 18 and a top college football prospect. Cord also goes by the name of Spank or Spanky Dank, his rapper name. Zion is the first grandson for Snoop, age 43. And adorable baby. He sent out a photo on Instagram, and he told Zion there's a lot of love waiting for him, and he'll play himself in a guest starring role on Fox's new hit drama Empire, which I just mentioned, and he'll also he has a new studio album called Bush coming out this spring as well. So big things ahead for Snoop Dogg. All right. No, okay, the case of the missing bell to start off season 7, okay? So, you know, how about a little... That's not cutting it. So, ding, ding, I'll say it myself, and I will
ding,
find
ding.
That
I,
is the mystery to start off
only
the
I
season.
Only I can silence that, too.
Oh, and you cannot, and I will find my bell, and, you know, you can ring
right.
my bell. What's the song?
Ring my bell, yeah.
Okay, celebrity birthdays, Jeff. We'll start with actor Jason Bateman.
I'm going to say 46.
Ding, ding.
Hey, all right.
Exactly, right on the money. Rock musician Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters is also 46. Rapper, actor LL Cool J.
49?
Minus 2, 47 for LL Cool J. Movie writer-director Steven Soderbergh is 52. Singer-producer T-Bone Burnett is 67. Actress Faye Dunaway.
I'm going to say...
There's like so many things. Mommy Dearest, the first thing that comes
yes.
to mind.
Yes, 68.
Plus 6, 74
wow.
today for Faye Dunaway. Yes, and looks great. Singer Jack Jones. You know who that is, Jeff?
I really don't.
I'll give you a little clue. Love. exciting and new.
Yes, yes.
Singer of the Love Boat theme song.
I'm going to say 76.
Plus one, 77 for Jack. And last but not least, blues singer Clarence Carter is 79 years young. So happy birthday to all those celebrities and any of our listeners celebrating a birthday. You can find Jeff and I on Facebook at Chad Burleson or Jeff Rivers. You can find us on Twitter at The Chad Reports. The Chad Report is distributed by Blog Talk Radio and is a CJ Scorpio Entertainment production. Thanks, everyone.